Hi everyone, I'm Robert Lane, a consultant here at Delta Capita. I'm joined today by Lakeshri Mohan and Ed Adcock. In today's episode, we'll be exploring various data solutions, their challenges and benefits, as well as drawing on our implementation experience to discuss how these tools can be utilized in the client lifecycle management space. So thanks Lakeshri and Ed for joining. Before we get into the questions, would you mind giving us a quick introduction to yourselves?
So hi, I'm Edward Adcock. I'm a principal data scientist at Delta Capita. I've been working with Delta Capita for about 5 years now on various projects, working across capital markets, internal model validation, and KYC CLM. I focus on project management and delivery of technical architecture and products.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. My name is Lakeshri Mohan, and I'm a managing consultant within data science at Delta Capita. I've been at Delta Capita for approximately 2 years now, and I've primarily been working within the data science, data engineering teams, and model validation. So my experience is within quantitative data analysis and research.
Cool. Thanks very much for those introductions, guys. Without further ado, let's just jump straight into the questions. The first question I have for you guys is what are the data-related challenges we currently face within CLM?
In my experience, I've found that the KYC process focuses more on an individual customer. And in today's market, in today's world of big data, it's more important to understand the connections of other counterparties to that individual in the context of the product, the engagement, and the relationship that our clients want to have with that customer.
Also, if we think about data as a whole, currently it's everywhere. All processes run on the types of data that you feed into it. So it's almost crucial that the data that we input into anything, whether it's a model or whether it's an automation software or whether it's something that we're getting from clients in order to feed into these technologies, that it's absolutely accurate as possible. In addition to this, there are several regulatory complexities associated with the data that we collect. So, for example, if we want to collect customer data in X region, it could be different to the requirements that are needed in region Y, which is in Asia, for example. So, in order to make sure that you can correlate this data is also another issue.
So, another challenge we have is dealing with all the additional plain text files that we now have. These additional documents such as legal, court documents, media accounts, news articles, sanction documents. This information is now significant and must be included in any KYC review that we have of customers. So we need some way to be able to automatically include this information and to be able to process it in a timely fashion.
What kind of innovative solutions are we seeing clients implementing that can help mitigate these risks?
Innovative solutions could expand everything from regular risk assessments, for example, a framework that's determined for that, robust policies that are put in place, and leveraging smart and needed technology. So I'm using needed here because we want to make sure that the technology that's being chosen for an X process is actually something that is required. So for example, if you take data that's within several databases that you have, such as client reference systems, you want to make sure that you don't have duplicate information within this data. So if we take a KYC analyst that then needs to go and do a KYC refresh, we want to make sure that they're only going to a client once and not twice, because their name is in the database several times. This could result in reputational damage, or this could result in overall fines as a whole, increased cost, for example. So using the right technology here is important in order to make sure that you're remediating these records. So we can come back to that at a later point. But the important thing is the choice of technology, the right frameworks that you have in place, and the risk assessments that are also put in place for this.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, it's important for us to understand what the ultimate goal is of the KYC process, which is about bringing together all the disparate information that we have about a particular customer, an entity or a client, and to be able to kind of pull out this information from those different silos, from those different regions, as Lakeshri, as you mentioned earlier, and they have those different requirements. Therefore, it's important that we have a single source of the truth or for this information. And that's what we find is quite challenging throughout our clients and throughout the people that we interact with, is that they have these issues of these data silos and disseminating this information. So how do we pull all this information together, and how do we utilize the new data warehouses and data lakes to the full advantage to really deliver those optimizations we're looking for in the KYC space?
Ed, you mentioned the plain text. Would you mind just elaborating on some solutions that we can use in that space?
Yeah, there are quite a few. And obviously, more recently, with some of the more advancements in AI and machine learning, which we can get to later on, there's been some significant developments in this space. Originally, the data was extracted manually through, you know, individuals reading through the data and trying to rekey that information into a system. This has caused significant challenges in terms of, you know, manual errors. How can we mitigate that risk? We can mitigate that risk by utilizing the new AI and the new evolution that we have in AI and ML around ChatGTP, OpenAI, and other similar types of models that are able to automatically extract that valuable information from these documents, assess that information, and then load it into a system correctly to mitigate that overall risk from manual errors.
Just on your point to do with AI, Ed, I think that's so important to bring in here, because the underlying principle, which is the large language models, would also mean that we can leverage data that's additionally on the internet. So if we take the example of scanning for adverse media or trying to see if there are any politically exposed personnel that are in contact with an X entity, then you can use these large language models in many different ways to identify if there's any media out there, any connections, any red flags, in order to accurately assess the risk of this. And this can be done automatically as well, rather than with little to no manual intervention, provided the training has been given for these large language models, which is a very important point.
Which then, of course, leads on to the semantic modeling that you can then do with that additional content and that information. And also on top of the semantic one, you can also then do an analysis of the sentiment of that particular article, or that, you know, how that business is viewed in the political sense, but also in an environmental sense, as, you know, being environmental, you know, companies is important nowadays. And it's also important from, you know, a risk perspective to make sure that you're assessing the relevant kind of green credentials of those companies.
That's definitely an excellent point, Ed. And if we think about it, and if we were to use technology in this way, then we'll get a non-biased opinion, which is exactly what we need.
So data duplication is obviously a major challenge across many industries. How would you go about deduplicating non-identical records?
That's a great question, Rob. So at DC, we've previously done this at a tier one investment bank. So the most important thing is to analyze the data to see what kind of discrepancies are in the data in order to build the correct solution. So what we did was we scoped the records in several different databases, and we tried to identify how many duplicates there were. So you have identical duplicates, which you can easily remediate. Even Excel can do this. You don't need anything fancy for it. And then you have non-identical duplicates. So it's also really important to understand where you get these non-identical duplicates. So what we found was it's the manual addition of data into a database through analysts in different locations where we started to get duplicate entities within the system. And there are two ways to approach this. The first is to try and find how you can get through to the KYC analyst, provide them with the correct trainings that are required, maybe even from a simple solution perspective, adding limits to, say, a certain field that they type in. And then there are more complicated solutions, but also have greater cost benefits, which are building advanced technologies in order to identify these non-identical duplicates that then can be remediated. So what we'd done was we built a machine learning model, which was actually based on the BERT model by Google. It's a relatively well-known model, and it's used quite widely. What we did was fine-tuned it on the data that we had, which is really important to make sure that you are identifying the right things, because what we do through this is assign a confidence score based on how similar two entities are. So you're essentially running the same data against itself as a vector matrix in order to identify what are the similarities. We get a score, which is from 0 to 1, with 1 being an ideal match and 0 being not a match at all. So definitely you wouldn't count those records to be in scope. And what you can do is filter by, say, the top 90, you could filter by 98% and above confidence level. So then an analyst only needs to go through the records that are in the top percent in order to remediate them. What we saw through this was you have less chances of you going to the same client twice or thrice is less. That means you save time when you're doing KYC. There's less reputational damage, but also the cost aspect associated with this is substantial. And this was something that we realized, and we knew that it's very useful for the bank to implement such a tool. But we're speaking about the model only being used in a data deduplication instance. It can also be used to identify missing data in other systems, because what you're basically doing is matching, say, an entity name or a unique, any kind of unique detail, which isn't a unique number, for example. So say in case there are missing fields associated with an entity in one of the databases, you can find that from another database.
Lakeshri, what were some of the benefits of that delivery?
In addition to the cost aspect and the reputational risk that we avoided through remediating the duplicate records, we found that the efficiency of the tool was such that millions of records could be analyzed within a matter of minutes. And we were able to optimize the confidence level to an extent where 99% of the records, which had a confidence level of 98%, could actually be remediated. So this tool is currently being used regularly in order to, I think, quarterly in order to remediate records. And it also addressed an audit observation. One of the important things that we do need to mention is the handover process of this tool, because what we did was structured a thorough training of the tool in order to allow analysts to run this without our intervention. So this is currently used within deduplication, but coming to the point of client lifecycle management, a way in which this can be used is, say, if you need complete records of a client entity, so missing information is always an issue. What you can do here is find entities within the client ref system and then match that to account downstream system, so you make sure that you have complete data.
So looking ahead, do we see an increase in the use of technology within CLM?
For sure. Across the CLM space, we see a significant use of technologies. What we also see a significant amount of use of is new end-to-end CLM technologies. These are including from account onboarding to account offboarding, including the whole process in between. What this actually has required from our clients is a significant amount of investment in terms of both data infrastructure, but also in terms of pulling in those data silos and mitigating the missing data that they have across those different systems. By pulling it into one core system, they're able to start filling those gaps and start bringing together those entity relationship diagrams and that single customer view that's so important for risk analysis and mitigation.
Within DC, we've been looking into this quite a lot. And recently, there's been an article to do with proving the efficiency of operational excellence within CLM. So in case you haven't had a look at that article, please do go and have a read, because it highlights several parts of the CLM lifecycle that can be improved. So if I take one such, one of the examples, it could be through process refinement. So due diligence that's done where you collect ID or any verification documents. Here you can have a automated technology which is built on data extraction that could potentially extract information from this automatically. So you wouldn't need an analyst to type that. So this would result in a decrease in errors. It would result in documents being processed in less time, which is quite important.
So what these new AI technologies allow us to do by implementing and automating this extraction of data from open text documents and from non-structured data allows the analyst, frees up the analyst from being a data entry and data collection into an investigator, and allows them to deliver the true value that they have as an analyst rather than running tasks that can be automated.
If you look at it from a regulatory lens, right now the fines are so great. If we look at what's happened in Santander or NatWest, we can see that it's really important to make sure that we get into the nitty-gritty detail of every connection of an entity, or we make sure there are no errors in the information that we're using. And this is where what Ed says is really important, because you want something that's automated that can do things rather than there being any gap in the information that you collect. So leveraging technology such as large language models or your open AI is becoming even more important. In fact, there's substantial research that's being done within these banks in order to use this. Now, an important point here is, how do you audit such models and the interpretability? But that's where training comes into place. And provided that can be done, these models can be used.
So do you guys foresee any significant challenges in the implementation of the technologies we've been speaking about?
So just to follow on the point that I previously mentioned to do with the use of large language models or open AI specifically, it's the interpretability of these models. But the substantial work that's currently being done, perhaps in startups and also internal divisions within large banks, to understand this further. So with time, I do think the use of this will be clear in certain areas more so than others. But right now, the interpretability is a challenge.
I think interpretability is one challenge, and also explainability of that model as well. It's important to realise that the new regulation that comes out regarding AI is very much focused on how can we explain these models and how do we explain the outcomes of what these models are doing. It's important to understand that, for example, if we are offering a loan and that loan is rejected, the customer has the right for an explanation as to why that loan was rejected. If it was purely based on an AI and ML model, then it's important for them to be able to explain why the model made that decision. This obviously then leads out to some more significant challenges in terms of, we were talking about earlier, the CLM and KYC data and pulling all of this information together from different regions and making sure that we are filling the gaps in this data. Some of the other significant challenges we have is around those that building that entity relationship diagram and making sure that we capture all of those additional connections that we have for those individuals. There is new technology coming on board that is changing the way that we structure the data in the database itself to be able to optimize and query these entity relations across a much wider and broader spectrum, allowing us to hop from one individual to another to allow us to build a connected graph to then be able to analyze this information on a more graphical level and in a more intuitive way. The additional challenges that this brings, though, is understanding that this requires additional support from a data and infrastructure side, from an IT side, and from a security side, to make sure that we can bring together all of that information, but in a secure way that is reliant on or abides by the GDPR and Data Protection Acts.
So another point that we can add to this is also the governance and maintenance of such models. So some models will need to have regular ongoing maintenance, and you might need to perhaps audit a bit more than others. Having an appropriate framework for such models is really crucial, making sure that you're able to explain to the internal model validation team why exactly a model behaves a certain way, what kind of data is fed into this model makes it very important. So again, like when we talk about data quality, that becomes very crucial here. And I think solutions need to be implemented in order to address that before anything else.
It's interesting that you mentioned the government, the framework that we've been working on at DC with our colleague Neve Kingsley. And indeed, it's something that we've seen at our clients that it's extremely important to them, and that it's something that we feel that we can add a lot of value to. And we've had a lot of experience in, you know, developing these kind of governance frameworks to ensure that it's about risk and compliance, that they're happy with the approach and the level of automation and AI that is being used within our clients' businesses.
So what advice would you give to organizations who are hesitant to adopt these risk assessment solutions?
Advice is always a tricky one when it comes to implementing these types of models, as it very much depends on where they are in their own life cycle in terms of implementing AI. They could be at the very beginning in terms of just collecting that information and trying to get out of that very data siloed mindset, or they could be much more towards the end in case of they've already got cloud infrastructure in place and they're already working towards this kind of continuous integration of new AI models and new training. One of the real challenges that we've seen is, how do we determine what are those limits that determine when a model should be retrained, or when we need to kind of reimagine the data that we're getting in? To that effect, we've started creating a kind of data quality framework of which we want to work around, which then is able to understand how the AI model is interacting with the data and what its outcomes are and what it's supposed to be delivering, but then is also able to then automatically notify and potentially then trigger off a retrain of various models and underlying data sets in order to make sure that the model is kept as up to date and as confident as possible. What this allows us to do is then build further confidence in that model across the business, therefore allowing us to kind of expand what these models can do, but also allows us to integrate additional data sources and additional resources to then really enhance the overall delivery of the end-to-end KYC process.
So that's definitely a really interesting point about the use of the models, Ed. And I completely agree. I would say an advice that I would give is try and find different use cases for a model. I think that's really important, because usually when you have a solution, it isn't just limited to a specific problem statement. And there are other areas where you can use this. And I think at Delta Capital, we have substantial experience across both managed services and consulting, where we're able to have a holistic view of how we can apply the different models and the different solutions or automation softwares that we're using, or different kinds of tools and technologies to different problem statements.
So the other thing I think is important is to make sure that you don't go it alone. AI is not new. It's been around for some time, and therefore it's important to understand what pitfalls and challenges that other people have both faced and overcome, and to be able to benefit from those challenges, and therefore to implement in terms of industry best practice AI and ML across your business.
What would your adoption approach be, and how would you advise a company to adopt these technologies into their CLM processes?
We've seen that companies previously can be a bit technology averse, although this is constantly changing, given it's become such an integral part of any kind of process optimization currently. What I would suggest is for a technology that's not used widely across the bank, doing perhaps a proof of concept. So at Delta Capita, we have an innovation team that work on proof of concepts that we then showcase to clients. And I know several banks also have this internally. And as consultants, we can also help with that. So starting off to see if an approach is the right one for a problem statement could be use of proof of concepts for that could be one of the approaches that would work. Now, if it's a technology that's relatively known, then identifying how that fits within the wider data architecture, how that process fits within the current systems that are in place with the bank is also something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Lakeshri. The data is so important when it comes to, you know, making sure that you can really deliver in terms of, you know, your ultimate goals for these types of kind of, you know, transformational projects. When it comes to kind of adopting this and, you know, what are the, you know, kind of cautious things to, you know, to be concerned about, it's important to make sure that investment in your overall infrastructure and your overall approach to data and managing data and your data governance is extremely important. Making sure that you have your data quality all, you know, set, making sure that you understand what your golden sources are, who your data owners are, who your data stewards are, what type of lineage you've got of that data and the kind of confidence and data quality that you have. Make sure that you've got a framework in place to, you know, validate that information, to make sure that you can assess it against different silos of that data and compare against and contrast against each other, to, you know, deduplicate, as we mentioned earlier, to make sure that we're filling those gaps in all the information. Once we've got our data sources sorted, at that point, we're in a great position to then start rolling forwards in terms of process optimization, implementing AI to start, you know, automatically pulling out information from, you know, text documents, etc. And also to make sure that, again, we can free up the analyst from doing all of that more data entry type role and to allow them again to deliver that value as an investigator.
That is definitely a very important point, Ed, because what this actually means is training and documentation to make sure that the analyst can carry on with using this tool or process is also just as important, making sure that the training is structured in a way where further use of the tool as well is something that's promoted. I think that's such an important point.
Which obviously then leads on to the culture and the and kind of, you know, how do we make sure that when we implement these changes that they're long lasting? And we have to do that by making sure that we adjust the culture, making sure that people are aware of the data assets and the new approach, etc. And making sure that the senior leadership teams, they're on board and they are the ones who are championing this and driving through that transformation.
This concludes this episode of DC Tech Talks. If you have any questions, please reach out to us at dc.tech.talks@deltacapita.com.